There have never been more options for your next vehicle, but the right choice has never been clearer. That's because Toyota has a high-performing hybrid built for your exact needs, like the stylish all-new Camry XSE Hybrid and Venza, the spacious Highlander and all-new Sienna with more cargo space, and the fuel-efficient and high-performing RAV4 Hybrid. Toyota hybrids save you time and money, filling up less often at the gas station. And of course, all with 10-year, 150,000-mile warranty on new models. Take the next step. Visit Toyota.com/hybrid or your local Toyota dealership to learn more.
Take a moment to breathe deep, relax, and go with me on a journey through self-discovery. I'm Devi Brown, the host of the Dropping Gems podcast, a show with conscious conversations and tools to help you grow. Listen to new episodes of Dropping Gems every Thursday. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Find Dropping Gems on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Now every customer, both new and existing, get the same great deal on the best devices.
Hey, 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 it's your girl, Love Sweetie, and this is Love Sweetie, talk server out here on Head Over Red Podcast. I'm so excited for today because even though it's snowing like a motherfucker, we have two exciting, amazing guests. I have Kevin and Thalia. They are the stars, the makeup artists and the hit stars of VH1 Beauty Bar. And I'm so excited because tonight I'm going to be on the episode. But before we even talk about my episode, we got to talk about them, what's going on, the drama, their personal life. There's so much and so much juice and honestly really deep stories happening in this show. I feel like a lot of people think reality television is just salacious. And yeah, you have to have some juice and drama and spilling of drinks. But there's real stories happening. You both have really amazing stories and backgrounds. And especially being Latino, I love the fact that this show is depicting Latinos, all types of Latinos, and kind of like the struggle and the journey with the Latino culture on love and sex and identity and what we're supposed to be, even though we should just be ourselves, right?
Right.
So welcome to the show. Thalia, you can start. Tell everyone a little bit about your background for those who aren't watching the show. And then Kevin, you can go next.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name's Thalia. I'm one of the makeup artists at the House of Dolls. My background, I guess, is I come from a Dominican family, born in New York, raised in Boston in the suburbs. There's a lot of drama at the salon, but I feel like we're all like a family at the end of the day.
What part of Boston? Wait, because I got it. You said Boston. Did you know that I grew up in Boston, too, in the suburbs?
Oh, you
did? You grew up in Lawrence, girl. You grew up in Lawrence?
No, I didn't. I didn't grow up in Lawrence. No, I grew up in Chelsea, Lynn, and Revere.
Yeah, I know Lynn. I have a friend that has a restaurant there. Because, you know, Lynn, Lowell, Lawrence, that's also Dominican. It's, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
We basically own the shit there.
We do. We do, like, every Dominican in Lawrence.
Pretty much. Kevin, the non-Dominican of the show.
Of course, but what's up? That's me. I'm the non-Dominican, but I have a great mix. I am Nicaraguan, Costa Rican, Puerto Rican. I have a lot in me, and I come from a lot of places. But my family, like on the show, I get to talk a lot about my issues. And, you know, I live in Inwood, but my mom lives in D.C. I have a big conflict because my family, you know, we're very conservative, so they don't really accept me as I am right now, and I'm really trying to just make sure I can patch these things out because, you know, it's difficult. So the House of Dolls works as my family, and it keeps me close. Thalia is, like, you know, my mentor. She does amazing makeup, and I'm like a professional makeup artist on the show. So, you know, it's really interesting how we work together. It's a really good dynamic duo.
Yeah, I love you. I love the energy, the synergy between you two on the show. I think from like day one, from the first episode, and even when I filmed, you guys like have a very like brother sister relationship. It's super obvious, and I love the first episode because it did get into Kevin, you know, with your birthday party and everything. Like you not talking to your mom. Yeah, I'm sure it affected a lot of people, and I'm sure how's been like the fan reaction to that for you, Kevin?
Honestly, a lot of people have been reaching out and just wishing me a lot of warm love and hoping the best for me and also relating to the story. I've gotten a lot of gay Latino men who have told me that it's great to see a gay Latino on TV and representing their truth and just letting people know that it's okay to go through that struggle. It's okay to feel the way that we do, because sometimes, you know, it's difficult for me day by day, but it's great because when I come to the House of Dolls, I just, it all goes away, you know, and it feels amazing to just have that experience. So when people hit me up and they tell me, it's so great to see that you inspire me, I'm moving forward, I cheer them on. Like, I want them to know that everything is possible.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're so candid about it. And I was just talking to my friend about this yesterday, who like loves the show, and my cousin loves the show, and we're all watching. And we're like, how awesome it is to see a Latino gay, you know, gay man saying, hey, this is what's going on. Because as Latinos, it's such a taboo, and talking about sex and relationships, especially for women. Talia, I love your take. I feel like Los Hombres, they can brag, you know, they can brag. Oh, sí, que I conquered this one, y esta de la calle, you know. But women say anything like that,
we're hoes.
Like,
we're
flushing.
Somos no cuero.
So what's been your fan reaction, and how do you kind of deal with, like, you're super confident. How do you deal with, like, being sexy and confident and not giving a shit about what people think about you?
Because I saw your Instagram, girl. You went in.
You know, to be honest with you, it's like my fan base has changed.
I haven't been that open about my past, just because I don't like to be labeled, and, you know, I don't live my life as a trans woman anymore because I'm a complete female. And I've learned that a lot of trans women now are looking up to me, and I didn't get that before because I lived my life very privately.
Mm-hmm.
So now getting that attention, because usually, honestly, I just get attention from guys. So, but now getting that attention from also the trans community is like, it's a beautiful thing, you know, because now I'm being more open to it, and I'm hearing other girls' stories, and I feel like I could somewhat relate to some of the girls. And it's a beautiful thing, like Kevin says, like, it's hard. This is, like, even for me talking about this right now, honestly, it's hard because, like I said, I've lived my life completely private. And I don't really talk about my past. And that's what made, I feel like, me and Kevin, even though I'm not a gay man and he's not a trans woman, but it united us because we both had problems with our families accepting us.
And that's what I felt that made us, like, bond together really strongly. And that's where I honestly got my confidence, was just like, you know, I feel like people like the shit on other people a lot. And I felt like I had to work so hard to, like, fight with people to respect me and to see me for who I was and the woman that I am. And I felt like that's where I always got my confidence from, just, like, you know, being a bad bitch. And a lot of people think, like, it might be, like, just me, like, thinking I'm all that. But no, honestly, it's not that at all.
All right, let me tell you something. You are all woman, girl, because you are gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
I had no idea. And then I saw the show, and I was like, say what? And I was with you. And you were like, I remember telling my cousin, I was like, oh, damn, she is fucking hot. Like, I want to be as hot as she. I was like, how can I be as hot and confident as Talia?
Like the day when you were doing my makeup, and then everything that happened afterwards, which will, you know, I will not share because that's another episode. But I was just like, oh my god, this woman is bringing out the inner sexy to Haiti. Because I'm always like, I'm just cute. I'm so happy that you're sharing your story. I know that I can tell that you were private when we filmed, but I think it's so important. And listen, like I said, you are all woman. You don't got to tell anybody anything. You are all woman to me and to everybody.
Thank you, my beloved. That means a lot.
It literally is amazing.
Speaking of dating and being all woman, I want to get some juice. I just want to know, like, the craziest dating experiences that you guys can share, because the listeners of the show love to talk about love, sex, and relationships. This is what the show is about. So if anyone has, like, a really bad first date story, or, like, the wackest guy, you don't got to say his name. I would love to hear it.
Wait, who's going first?
You go first.
Okay, well, let's see. I got catfished really, really horribly. And this boy, I met him on the internet, and he was like, I want to meet you. You're so gorgeous, blah, blah, blah. We were talking for 4 months. And at that time, you know, I didn't know the signs of a catfisher, and he just kept sending me his picture. So I'm thinking this person's real. And, you know, I was dumb enough to book a flight for him to come to meet me. And this person actually gets on, you know, that's their name, everything, they get on the flight, and when I see them, they don't look like that person. They look similar, but they're not that person. I got catfished completely.
Oh, my gosh.
For 4 months, we were very, you know, exclusive, very, we had a lot of connections, and then I just meet them in person. I just got catfished for my dear life.
Oh, my God. Old was this recent? I always wonder when you watch the show.
Oh, so yeah. Because when you watch the show, a lot of the people who get catfished are a little on the younger side. Unless, you know, I feel like when you get older, you're more cautious about love and dating in general. I think when you're younger, you're just so naive. People would never do this. And, you know, we're connected and they tell me I'm amazing.
Crazy thing. I've never been through something like that. I wouldn't understand why people would waste somebody's time like that.
I think it's a lot with insecurities and trying to be someone else that they're not.
Oh my God. Okay, Thalia, let me know. What's up? You've been catfished? I don't think you have ever been catfished. I can't imagine Thalia ever getting catfished.
I've never been catfished, but I used to work at the celebrity gym as a receptionist. Mm-hmm. And a girlfriend of mine, she set me up on a blind date with this guy. And, on the phone, he sounded really sexy and really smart. And he was like an engineer, for computers and stuff like that. Anyways. So we go on a date, and this is a true story. This is so embarrassing. Okay, so the guy, when I saw him, I don't want to be mean, but he was not what I thought. Like, he was like a nerd. He was like not what I thought. Anyways, I remember I went to Sushi Samba downtown, and he was like, there was like these little tables, like right next to other tables, and he was like knocking the table down. I guess just picture it, guys. You can just imagine this guy's like knocking people's tables down and like talking really loud. And after that, he came, I would never go on a date with this guy. This guy's not interesting. He's loud. He's obnoxious. He came to the gym and brought me some red bottom shoes.
Oh, hey.
And he was like, here's a gift. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you so much. And when he asked me to go back on a date with him, I was like, oh, no, I don't think so. Do you know what he did? He went back to the gym and was like, give me my fucking shoes back.
No, of course he did.
He did. So I eventually was like, I don't have them here. They're in the house. But I was like, you could come back and I will give you your fucking shoes. And I literally threw the shoes at him. And I was like, please, I would never date you.
You were kitten fished. there's a new term on dating called kitten fishing. Kitten fishing is like catfishing light. Like it basically is when someone you think they're like the person they are, but they have they send you old photos. They send you pictures of them like when they were good looking and they were younger. So it's like you meet them and you're like you're the same person, but you're not the same person. So it's something called kitten fishing. It's not the same person. It's crazy. Have any of you ever done online dating? I'm curious.
Yes.
Yeah. You went, really? How's that?
But I feel like it never works. That should never work. Never, ever work. I don't know. You know how these people I met someone online, trueharmony.com, Christian Mingle. Oh, my God, I fell in love. We got married. And I'm like, full of shit. I've never met all the relationships I've been in have never been online relationships.
Well, I met my fiance on Plenty of Fish.
That's right. Yeah. I think I remember you telling me that.
And there's actually a lot. I've been to so many weddings with people who have met their partner online.
And I feel like Plenty of Fish is so ratchet. No,
it is.
Like every guy that's I ever met there is like asking me for nude pictures and like straight to like sex. Yeah, so you were really lucky.
Well, girl, it's because you got all that sex appeal. Me, I'm like, they look at me and they're like, oh, look at that cute little girl.
That's the same thing that happened. I tried the whole Grindr app, but it's literally it's straight on sex. I couldn't even believe it. I was like, no, this is not anything I want to be associated with.
A part of. But it's always Instagram. Instagram is the same thing.
People do all now date people off Instagram. That's also another new thing that I keep hearing, especially millennials. How'd you guys meet? On Instagram, they DM.
Everything
me.
Goes down on the DM. On the DM.
That's it. That should be a song. If it's not a song, it should be a song. Is it?
It is a song.
Is it?
It is.
I'm gonna be 40 next month, so that shows. But that's what you know. Like, oh, so Haiti don't know about the DMs. They don't know about this. I don't know about the DMs. So I want to talk a little bit about today's episode. What can we expect on today's episode? All the juice, because it's some drama.
Well, we have you, beautiful. So that's amazing.
Yes.
You're going to be on today's episode. Me and I guess Kevin get into it, right, Kevin? So you guys have to see how that drama unfolds.
What happened today is, you know, of course you're on the episode. You know you're going to come see us. It's just what happens is what we feel is right with whatever decision is made. So
right. It's
just going to, we're going to react upon accordingly. And, you know, if Talia gets salty or if I get salty, however pure our emotions come out, honey, that's the truth. And I don't think I ever had my emotions, because when I'm feeling some type of way, you're going to read it in my face.
No, I swear to God, Kevin could never, he doesn't have a poker face at all. Like, Kevin, when he, like, feels something, you'll see it right away.
I think there's a lot of Spanish people, because it's terrible. When I'm mad, it's mad. It's like, we wear a heart on our sleeves. Unless, I feel like there's some people that are better at it, but I don't know a lot of Latinos who can just fake the funk. I think we're just so raw and authentic in a way that it's great, but it could hurt us at the same time, because we all emotion.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's so crazy with me, because I try to keep it cute. When things go down, my face just says it all.
It does. I think there's going to be drama, but it's also going to be really funny. And we could say that there's like a little contest going on with me and Kevin, and you guys just have to tune in to see who's going to win this contest.
But I really love the cooking up video.
Oh, that's right. Natick has his premiere.
You guys have no idea how much I love this song. Like, for the love of the money, we're cooking up. Like, I get into it.
He was so funny. He has such a personality.
Yeah, he's such a clown in a good way. I love him. My boyfriend the other day was singing the song, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yes.
Like, so yeah, it was funny.
Speaking of relationships, you're both in relationships, right? I know, Talia, you're in a relationship. Kevin, are you still with your boo?
Yes, I'm actually, I am dating, and I'm still with the same person. I'm, you know, a lot of...
Dating? Or, wait, what was that, Kevin?
I know, dating doesn't seem very...
Dating does not... you're like, I'm still...
You know what the problem with me is? I sometimes say dating and in a relationship. And let me rephrase that. I am in a relationship, and it's been going really well. And, you know, just like any other thing and any other relationship, we all have our heated moments. But
yeah, that's true.
I definitely try to get through them as best as possible with my communication skills, because that's, I think, one of my best qualities.
Talia, how long have you been with your man?
It's going to be 2 years now, and like a month or so. And it has not been easy, believe me. Like, we've broken up for like two weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we live together now. So it's even more committed.
How do you deal with living with someone when you're mad at them?
we were living in separate apartments, but he was spent a lot of time at my apartment. So it's not like, but it was easier. Like, when we fought, he would just leave. You know what I mean? But now it's like I send him to the living room. So
he
just goes to the living room.
Como un gato. Como un gato.
Yeah. Which is bullshit, because honestly, I can't sleep alone anymore. Like, I'm so used to sleeping with him. So the other day we had an argument, and he went to the living room, and then like at 2 o'clock in the morning, I had to go to the living room and was like, come to the bed, because I can't sleep alone.
Yeah, I can.
Really?
Uh-huh. I can. It's just sometimes it's nice, especially when you're angry. You're like, I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to have my space, and I'll talk to you.
Uh-huh.
I'll talk to you and cuddle up when I'm ready. I think for a long time, though, I felt like relationships always had to be perfect, and whenever there was ever an issue, because of Hollywood and the fantasy of love, especially when I was young, like, you think, oh my God, it has to be, this is going to be love all the time, and it's going to feel this way all the time, and it ebbs and flows. There's times when you're more in love, and other times, there's times where one person's working harder than the other to keep the relationship together, and there's times where it's like the beautiful moments where, like, you're in it together, and it's just like bliss, but that bliss isn't always consistent. It's not going to be... Imagine, like, you're with someone for 40 years and it's always the same. How boring would that be?
No, that'd be horrible.
even if it's blissful and it's beautiful, like, mm-hmm. even that gets old. Even the good stuff gets old sometimes.
But people always say, you know, not everything lasts forever. And that makes me a little sad because I always feel like, damn, I've been with this guy for, like, 2 years. And you know, what if we don't last forever? Like, I just feel like maybe, like, are we wasting our time or our relationships just for, like, you know, a moment and then, like, you're supposed to get into other relationships and other relationships. Like, and then what happens if you get married and it's supposed to be for lifetime? And I just feel like maybe society says it's supposed to be for lifetime, but it really shouldn't be for lifetime.
I think it can be for lifetime. I believe that every relationship teaches us something. So until, and even the relationship you're in when people are married for 20, 30, 40 years until death do they part, they're still learning. But I think the early relationships, when it's not the ones that stick, there's a lesson in them. And sometimes you have to learn the same lesson 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And sometimes it's just, you know, you're working through and you're growing through all these relationships to prepare you for the relationship that's going to be the relationship for lifetime. And I think the only way that it is something, it could be a relationship that's for a lifetime, whatever your lifetime span is, it's when you kind of have learned most of your lessons and you really love yourself and you really are choosing the partner that's the best fit for you. Yes, that you love and you're in love with, but there has to be more to it than like, oh my God, it's amazing. The sex is amazing. We're so in love. There's other things. There's compatibility. There's, you know, deal breakers. There's lifestyle, things that you want to accomplish, you know, the type of partner the person is, personality, family. All those things go into play when choosing a partner to commit to. And a lot of the times we get so wrapped up in the love that we forget that there's all these really important components to make a lifetime commitment to somebody. So I do believe that you can have a lifetime commitment to someone, but all those little, I mean, I've been in so many relationships and I kept finding myself in the same relationship, different man, like I say, because it was like I still had to learn the damn lesson to love myself and to grow and become the person that I am and the woman that I am now that's confident and knows who she is and really, you know, still struggles with things because la cosa no se van así. So like the issues that I've had in the past, like abandonment issues, rejection issues because of my history with my father that a lot of my listeners know already, that still follows even in this relationship and even in the great relationships, it still follows. You just can't get rid of some stuff. It sits with you as long as you just have to be aware that it's there and not let it affect your reaction and your actions and your decisions. Yeah, I just got deep right now. Whoa.
We need a therapy, right, kind of thing?
Yeah, I love talking about this. I love talking about all these things. I think the reason why listeners listen is because I'm super open about the things that I've gone through and the things that I'm still going through personally. And I like to talk about the things that even self-love. I've struggled with self-love. I've struggled with self-worth. And I think a lot of people have. And a lot of, like I said, Latinos were taught not to talk about these things. Porque el que dirán. And you don't want people to know your business and keep everything hush-hush. So I like to vocalize as much as I can to break that cycle of not, we like Latinos are weird because we're expressive and we're passionate, but we're not supposed to really talk about our feelings, especially men, and women aren't supposed to talk about their dirt. So it's like kind of an oxymoron. And it frustrates me when I still meet Latina women. I went to a conference in Los Angeles, a couple of weeks ago, and all these women I was talking about, like vagina and sex, like I was just being myself, like we were talking and it was like, oh, because yeah, I love this vaginal wash, and everyone's like looking at me like I'm crazy and like I have two heads because I just said the word vagina, and I'm like, what's the big deal? Oh, vagina, 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 we all have one. If you're a woman, you have one. Like, it's not that big deal.
I know. I wish women could be more open about their sexuality and about their girl parts. I agree with that. That's
yes,
so good.
Yes. But I do think that Dominican women in general have always kind of pushed the envelope naturally. If you go to a salon, like, you know, a House of Dolls, I feel like you are also open about talking about all that. And I think a lot of Dominican women go to salons to be able to just let it all out, like to not have to be the pretty mojita muerta. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that's the beauty of, like, Dominican salons. Que la mujer van, and they're like, okay, aquí me hago los rolos, and I do my hair, pero I'm also gonna dish on dirt, and I'm going to talk about all that stuff that I can't talk about at home, and I'm not supposed to talk about. So I feel like beauty salons like that, like House of Dolls, really give Dominican women a space to be themselves,
a
like, raw.
Safe haven.
Yes. So
it's like a locker room for men, but the salon is for the women, you know?
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly mm-hmm. what it is. So I miss my Dominican salons, man. Like, I'm out here in Long Island with all the white people.
I don't know how you do it. But did they have me? Because I have an ex, he owns two Dominican barbershop in Long Island. So they have to be Dominican. Yeah.
No, there are. It's mm-hmm. just, it's, I went to one and they were terrible, and I'm very thingy about my hair, and y'all know I'm very thingy about my makeup. I'm very thingy about, I'm very particular, and I have very strong opinions. I try to be
wait, you just said you're very picky about your makeup. Can we get into how picky about you are with your makeup?
I'm very picky because I have this idea of what looks, and I appreciated both of you kind of trying to push me out of my comfort zone, because I have this idea of what looks good on me. And as I said before, I think we all have a perception of ourselves and our features. And then other people see beauty in you that sometimes you don't even see in yourself.
Yeah.
Tú sabes, todo el mundo tiene complejo. Like, no me gusta la nariz, my hair, and my thin lips or my big lips or whatever. And I think because of lo complejo mío, the insecurities that I've had growing up with, like, some of my features, I tend to veer towards, like, a certain makeup because I don't want my lips to look like this. And then my nose is going to look like this. And then my face is going to look too skinny, or my face is going to look... So, yeah, yo soy complicada.
No, I feel the same way. I totally understand, because Kevin's always trying to make me do color, and I like a lot of, like, nude and, like, soft mm-hmm. colors. And he's always like, try to do more color. And when then he does it, I'm like, I like it. But I get out of my comfort zone. I let him decide, you know, as a professional, to see a vision in me that I probably don't see.
You look great with that lip. You do.
And I hate it. I hate it. But thank you. But thank you. Now I'm being more open to it. Since I'm doing the show, I've been more open to the red lip.
Like, I've done red smoky eyes on Zalia before, and she was like, what? She's like, no way. Red on my eyes? I'm like, we're just doing it, girl. We're going to add orange highlights on it, and we're going to go in, and she loved it.
Well, listen, I think you guys are both amazing. You both are great makeup artists. Let everyone know where they can find you on social media, so you can plug.
On Instagram at The Beat of NYC, and you can check me out on Twitter, same thing, The Beat of NYC.
My Twitter and Instagram is Dashing Dahlia, Dashing Dahlia, Thalia.
So that is The Beat of New York City, the beat of NYC, and that's Dashing, like, you know, beautiful, Dashing Dahlia, Thalia. I'm so excited for today's episode. I cannot wait. I'm literally going to have my bottle of wine. I'm gonna be live tweeting tonight also. I don't use Twitter all the time.
Will.
I'm gonna be live tweeting. If you wanna live tweet with us, hashtag BH1 Beauty Bar is the hashtag. Make sure to follow Thalia and Kevin and me at Love2Haiti on Twitter and social media.
Thank you so much for this interview. We're going to have more of them next week, so I cannot wait. We're going to be in studio in New York City, not with the snow, and and we're going to do some videos. So I can't wait for all you listeners to see and hear us on here on Hera Volver Podcast, anywhere you can find it, and also on YouTube. I'm going to be putting the video on YouTube and on Instagram to share. So thank you, Kevin, Thalia. This was awesome. Thank you for being so open.
Thank you. And remember, guys, again, VH1 tonight at 10 p.m., VH1 10 p.m. Beauty Bar.
That's right. Watch us all tonight, VH1 Beauty Bar, and keep watching every Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check your local listings for wherever VH1 is. That's it for me on Love2Haiti Talks to Raw here on Hera Volver Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and stay tuned for next week for more Kevin, Thalia, and a show.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and the Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
There have never been more options for your next vehicle, but the right choice has never been clearer. That's because Toyota has a high-performing hybrid built for your exact needs, like the stylish all-new Camry XSE Hybrid and Venza, the spacious Highlander and all-new Sienna with more cargo space, and the fuel-efficient and high-performing RAV4 Hybrid. Toyota hybrids save you time and money, filling up less often at the gas station. And of course, all with 10-year, 150,000-mile warranty on new models. Take the next step. Visit Toyota.com/hybrid or your local Toyota dealership to learn more.